Amen. If you'd now turn with me in your Bibles to our sermon text for this morning, Hebrews chapter 11. We're now at verses 8 through 10, and then I will also be reading from Genesis 12, the first five verses. So please stand for the reading of God's holy word. Hear now God's word from the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verses 8 through 10. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. And then turning to the book of Genesis, the background to Hebrews 11, verses 8 through 10. Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 5. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abraham went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. And Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people that they acquired in Haran, and they set out to go to the land of Canaan. This is the word of the Lord. Please be seated. Let us pray. Lord God Almighty, the account of Abraham, the great man of faith, is writ large across the pages of Scripture. Now I pray through the preaching of your word that you would write large across our hearts what is said of Abraham. By faith, he obeyed. Lord, build our faith this morning. Build our obedience through the proclamation of your word. Work powerfully, Holy Spirit. Increase our faith in our Savior, Jesus Christ. I seek your Spirit's unction for preaching your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, can you guess who in the Bible, more than anyone else, is connected with the great topic of faith? It's Abraham. No one else in all of Scripture is so spoken of in terms of faith. In fact, in Romans chapter 4, verse 11, Abraham is said to be the father of all who believe. Isn't that incredible that somebody would be said to be the father of all who believe? So it's no wonder then that in writing to a group of Christians who are struggling in persevering in their faith in Christ, that Hebrews devotes more space to Abraham and his faith and obedience than anyone else in chapter 11. A little bit over a quarter of chapter 11 is devoted to Abraham and his faith and his obedience. And so what that means for us is that we have much to learn, much to gain, and much to be encouraged by from Abraham and his example of faith. But why care about faith? It's because through faith we are connected to and we embrace the saving work of Jesus Christ. It's through faith that we receive the blessed promises of God. Liam Gallagher says of our text, "The author is showing us that faith is the instrument through which God works to bring blessing into the lives of fallen men and women from the very beginning of human existence." So if you were to ask, is there one common theme that runs through the whole story of God's relationship with fallen humanity, what would it be? The answer would be faith. Faith is the commonality. Faith in the promise of God. Faith in the Word of God. Believing God is the key link spanning across the pages of Scripture. So let's begin here in our text, Hebrews 11, verses 8 through 10, by noting that not just once, but twice, in regards to Abraham, we find this key phrase found throughout chapter 11, by faith. How does verse 8 begin? By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out. And then verse 9, by faith, Abraham, by faith, he went to live in the land of promise. Abraham's faith was a faith that believed and trusted God. It was a trusting faith. It was a believing faith, much like the kind of trust that a young child can have in their mother. And we see this great believing and obeying faith in Abraham's response to God's command found in Genesis 12 and verse 1. Now, the Lord said to Abram, and by the way, Abram in Genesis 12, that's Abraham's name before God changed his name from Abram to Abraham, lest you become confused over that. Now, the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you." This is a major event in Scripture. According to chapter 11, Genesis chapter 11, verse 31, Abraham originally lived in Ur of the Chaldeans. That's located on the Euphrates River in Mesopotamia, or modern southern Iraq. In the city of Ur, there was a massive temple dominating the city, and at the top was a shrine to Nammu, the moon god. And what this means is that Abraham actually started out as a moon god worshiper, as a pagan idolater. And that's exactly what Joshua, in Joshua 24, verse 2, informs us. So what happened? How did Abraham come to know of and have faith in the true God? Well, if you turn to Acts chapter 7 and verse 2, Stephen informs us, "The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia and said to him, 'Go out from your land and from your kindred and go into the land that I will show you.'" Now, consider carefully what God's call, what God's command to Abraham to leave Ur of the Chaldeans, what it really meant to him. Go from your country, your kindred, your father's house, to the land that I will show you. So think about those words. God was calling Abraham to leave his homeland, his relatives, his roots, to leave that all behind. And this really was a call to leave. There's no plane flights that he could hop on to go visit. There were no cell phones to stay in touch with relatives and friends. Hebrews 11, verse 1, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen." Leave it all, go to a land that I will show you. What land? What's it going to be like there? How am I going to live? 1,000 questions. And what is more, according to Hebrews 11, verse 8, when Abraham received God's command to leave his home, he went out not knowing where he was going. That takes faith. Faith is trusting God trusting that God knows what he's doing. Faith is believing God, that he won't fail you, that he won't let you down. Faith is obeying God even when you don't know what lay immediately ahead or what even lays ahead in the long term. And faith is the confidence that God cares for me so much that he would even give his son for me. Furthermore, faith is trusting in God's character. Faith is placing our hope, even our very lives and destiny, into the hands of the true and living God who truly is good. Psalm 73, verse 1 and 24 and 28 expresses such confidence in God's goodness. Listen to this. Truly, God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. And then verse 24 and 28, you guide me with your counsel, and afterward you will receive me into glory. Verse 28, but for me, it is good to be near God. I have made the Lord my refuge that I may tell of your works. God is good. Psalm 84, verse 11, also expresses a solid confidence in the goodness of God. For the Lord is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. Isaiah 63, verse 7. I will recount the steadfast love of the Lord and the great goodness to the house of Israel that he has granted them according to his compassion, according to the abundance of his steadfast love. And moving to the New Testament, Luke chapter 12, verse 32. Jesus builds our faith and trust with this warm-hearted promise. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. God's good, and faith trusts in the very goodness of our God. I love what Ian Hamilton says about faith. Faith is relational. It's a relationship of trust. And that trust is rooted in the faithfulness of God and in his love towards us. Faith is relational. It's a relationship of trust. Now moving on, we learn something very, very important from verses 9 and 10 regarding faith and trust and hope. You see, this present world, with all of its tears and fears and troubles and sin and disappointments, please understand, this present world is not all that there is. We, and this is a very important point that comes out here in Hebrews 11, we are pilgrims in this world. We are passing through on our way to a better world, to the ultimate world. And so, like Abraham, we should not cling too closely nor too hard to this present world and life as we live by faith. Let's start with verse 9 here in chapter 11. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. See, that promise, living in that land, is not only something of what was when Abraham was on earth, of a present life for him, but what you begin to learn, what you begin to glean from the pages of Scripture in Hebrews 11, is that there's something also forward, future-looking, future promised to all of that, which is the same for us. Now, I'm not sure why, but our ESV translation doesn't capture the full meaning behind what is a single word in the Greek, but is to render it in English, they use four words here in in verse 9. He went to live. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise. The New American Standard renders it as, by faith he lived as an alien in the land of promise. I think that's getting more at what's going on here. The New International Version, by faith he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. This present world, with all of its troubles, is not our home. It's not our final home. And this is thanks to the saving work of Jesus Christ. And this is tremendously, tremendously good news. We are pilgrims on a sacred journey. We are passing through this fallen world on our way to the ultimate promised land, the most sacred, the most wonderful paradise, Garden of Eden imaginable, the new heavens and the new earth. And we need to gain or regain that perspective on our existence as those who have been redeemed by the risen Jesus Christ. So to better understand this, consider Abraham. Verse 9, by faith he went to live in the land of promise as in a foreign land. Abraham had, past tense, been a pagan moon god worshiper. But now, because of God's saving grace, he was now different from everyone else around him. He was now a follower of the true and living God. Whereas those in the land he had left, as well as those in the land where he journeyed to, they were all polytheistic, false god idolaters. Their beliefs, their morals were corrupted by sin, and this even corrupted their religious practices, which were often vile. But Abraham's morals and beliefs were founded upon God's revelation of himself and of his incredibly pure and good character. And what this meant was that Abraham was on a collision course with the surrounding culture, just as we ourselves are experiencing today in our own culture. Ephesians 2, verses 1 to 3 describes the unbelieving world and how it is and how we once were. If you were attended one of the Friday evening family Bible studies this last Friday, these matters came up. Ephesians 2, 1 to 3. Listen to this as a description of the world and how we were when we were a part of the world. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, that is the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all lived in passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. That's the kind of world Abraham lived in. That's the kind of world we live in today. But then, just as with Abraham, something absolutely wonderful happened to all who are trusting in Christ. But God, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Do you see how we've been translated from Satan's kingdom into his glorious kingdom and seated with Christ in the heavenly places? This changes everything regarding our lives and our destiny and how we think about life. And because God in his amazing grace has made us alive together with Christ and raised us up and seated us with Christ in the heavenly places, we are now just passing through this fallen world. Our true country, our true home, is the ultimate land of promise, the new heavens and the new earth. Kent Hughes observes, "Thus a vibrant faith is always matched with a sense of dis-ease, a pervasive in-betweenness, a sense of being a camper. This does not mean, of course, that Abraham was separate from culture. To the contrary, the Genesis records that he was deeply involved in the politics of the land, but there was always this dissonance. He was never at home." And then Kent Hughes continues, "In fact, every believer is called to step out in faithful obedience and to follow Christ as he leads on to that land. All of us are, by faith, to obey and go as God directs, though we do not know where the path will take us. All of us are, by faith, to become willing sojourners, living in constant dissonance with the world as we wait our final inheritance." And then Kent Hughes issues a warning. "It is a dangerous thing when a Christian begins to feel permanently settled in this world." I sort of hate to bring it up once again, but there's a book with a title that captures the wrongheadedness. Your Best Life Now, right? Absolutely, absolutely wrong-headed, absolutely gets Christ and salvation and our destiny, absolutely gets it wrong. That is a pagan title. You see. Last part of verse 9. "By faith, he went to live in the land of promise, living in tents." I think there's something for us to think about, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. That heirs of the same, that promise mentioned twice there. A promise is something we don't have quite yet, right? Now, this is significant for us. By faith, Abraham believed God's promise of a land. That's why it's often called the promised land. And what is the promised land? On one level, it is the land of Canaan, the land of Palestine. But here is where it gets really exciting. You see, that patch of land in the Middle East, it never even came close to the Garden of Eden. Nor was the land of Palestine ever heaven on earth. Just like when we move somewhere hoping for a better life, we still take our fallen self with us. And we're still living in a fallen world. That's why verses 13 to 14 here in Hebrews 11 are so vital to everything. And I'll throw in verse 16 as well. Listen to these verses here in Hebrews 11, 13 and 14. "These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland." Verse 16, "But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city." We need to get this in our thinking, in our minds, in our faith, in our hope, in our hearts, desiring a better country, not seeking to hold on to all that we have right now and make this our best life now. If we're really going to make this our best life now, then we need to secure a really large grave. And when we die, all of our possessions, like those pharaohs, get packed into the dirt with us, right? So can you see what we're being told about the life and the faith of Abraham? By faith, Abraham learned something that we all need to learn. He learned to look beyond this present life. He learned to look beyond that land in the Middle East. By faith, Abraham realized that the land of Palestine was a mere shadow, that there was something far, far greater which God was promising, an ultimate land, an ultimate Garden of Eden. By faith, Abraham, verse 16, desired a better country, that is, a heavenly home, for God has prepared for them a city. A city. I read that word there in verse 16, he has prepared for them a city, and my mind immediately goes to Revelation chapter 21, verse 2. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. And he who is seated on the throne said, behold, I am making all things new. Also he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. Why would we want to cling to a fallen world and a life? Yes, there are pleasures and joys, absolutely, but a life where there's tears and mourning and crying and pain, when in Christ we have truly a city, a heavenly home, no more curse, no more tears, no more crying awaiting for us. And just as Isaac and Jacob were heirs with Abraham of God's promise, so we are by faith heirs as well. Just as Galatians 3 verse 29 tells us, if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. You see, God promised Abraham a land. New Testament tells us that all who are trusting in Christ were adopted into God's family, and we become heirs of that promise. It's incredible, such hope. And now, in verse 10, here in Hebrews 11, continues with this great theme of faith and the trajectory of how we are to live and hope in this present life. Verse 10, for he, that's Abraham, for he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. So did you catch how this great man of faith lived his life of faith in this present world? He was looking forward. You see? The saints who have gone before us, saints who lived in past centuries, were much better. When you read their biographies, you realize they were much better at this aspect of the life of faith, looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. Before modern medicine, before such long life expectancies, often death was a constant companion of life. It was all around you in this hurting and fallen world. Now we live in such a blessed age. We live in such a blessed land. We have so many wonderful things that we enjoy. They're gifts from God, okay? But there's a danger in them. We really can seek to make this our best life and hold on to this and lose sight of looking forward. Whereas the saints in the past, because death was all around them, they understood this whole thing better. And so what we tend to do is cling to this present life. We have too tight of a grip on it. And we need to loosen that grip, don't we? And by faith, look forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. On this very point, Ian Hamilton makes a profound observation. You have the saying, He's too heavenly minded to be of any earthly use. You ever heard that? He's too heavenly minded. He's really of no use. Ian Hamilton says this. Well, actually, the reverse is true. The more heavenly minded you are, the more earthly good you will be, because you will bring into your life a note that will sound among the people you live with. See that guy or that girl or that man or that woman? Everything they have could disappear in a moment, and they would have lost nothing. They would have lost nothing. The Hebrew Christians to whom this book was written were considering giving up their faith in Jesus, because they were too caught up in the struggles of the here and now. But the here and now is not all that there is, thanks to Christ. Through Christ's sacrifice as an atonement for sin, and his resurrection to everlasting newness of life, Christ has eternally secured for all who persevere in their trust in him a better life, a better world, even a superior life, and a world without end. He has prepared a city designed and built by God himself. Think about that. A better country that is a heavenly one, a city that has foundations, and this is waiting. It's promised for all who persevere in their faith in Jesus Christ. This world is passing away. So cast the eyes of your faith forward to the promise. Trust God. Believe God. Obey God. Have faith in God. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for loving us with such a great love that you gave your Son, Jesus Christ, so that whoever would believe would not perish, but have everlasting life. And thank you that that everlasting life which Christ has secured is not life just going on and on and on in this fallen world, just more struggles, more sin, more pain, more heartache. No, thank you that you have promised us a land, a new heavens, a new earth, to help us to persevere in faith, to live by faith. Help us to not cling too much to this present life, but to cast our gaze forward to what we have in Christ. To cast our gaze forward to the new heavens and a new earth. And you being with us and us being with you, grant us this heavenly perspective on life, so that we would live to your glory, and that we would have hope in the midst of life's trials and hardships, and even in the midst of life's joys. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.